Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Deep drive. Gone.
There's one to the pole side.
Cubs lead by 2.
Well, we've got some star power here, don't we, with Tatis, Machado, Baez doing their thing.
This time Myers runs. The pitch is high. Tag, 2 down.
Myers holding his ground. Padres, if there's any doubt at all, might as well challenge this thing. Baez doing his thing again, though. Man, yeah. I think he got him.
The Padres almost have to challenge it, right? Even if it's 50-50. Yeah, I think he is out. Totally out.
That was from Saturday, ABC 7. Broadcasting the game. I believe Jesse was a part of the broadcast crew. Jonathan Hood live and local 1 hour from right now. Before we get to Jesse, I want to sort of set the table from inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Gorgeous day in the city. Hope everyone had a great weekend. The Bears met the media yesterday, Pace and Nagy. A lot of good stuff on Mitch Trubisky and the kicking situation that we'll play, that if you're just getting into your car, 10 of the first 12 questions yesterday for Pace and Nagy were on the kickers. And anything is still on the table, according to Ryan Pace. Also, the quarterbacks, along with rookies, report today to Bourbonnais. The entire team will report on Thursday. Their first practice is Friday.
Think they're going out for a team beverage tonight at the library?
I would think so. You get some beers, right? Get some beer, maybe if you're in the area. Check it out. Maybe nice and casual. You see Mitch and Chase Daniel and who is it? Tyler Bray? Is that the third string quarterback?
I think so. Maybe Dave Ragone is out with him.
Sure. He'll go beer free. I don't believe he drinks it all.
Not a problem.
Coach Nagy, I know, enjoys a beer or two. I hope he doesn't enjoy Cracker Jacks and whatever he gets at the ballpark. But teach their own. What? What?
I was in the restroom in my house today. I was in the bathroom, and just out of the blue, I started thinking.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Just out of the blue, and I belly laughed out loud.
I still haven't seen that T-shirt yet.
I don't think he was asked the question either, right?
No one said anything to him?
Come on,
like, hey, coach, what happened at the Cubs game? But a lot of people are trying to capitalize off of that. With a T-shirt. I've asked for that. Do you remember the guys who did the Felicio song? Or no, was it Felicio? It was the two guys who won our contest, the holiday parody song contest.
Miritich song?
Yeah, the Miritich song from 2 years ago. They emailed me a design for a T-shirt. I'm like, it's just okay. Workshop that a little bit more.
What did it say? What did it look like?
I think they just wrote the phrase on it. Matt Nagy likes this and that. And I'm like,
wasn't there another T-shirt that was...
Obvious T-shirts did a T-shirt, and they're good. But this one said, like, Matt Nagy says peanuts and Cracker Jacks weird, or something like
that.
That's
pretty funny. I can't believe the media didn't ask him just in jest, hey, coach, is there any chance to get some Cracker Jacks in the food line at camp in Olivet Nazarene?
Right. We have that going on. We'll get to some Bears conversation. The White Sox have the nets up today. And again, these won't be the retractable nets that go up and down. They're open to that in the offseason. They wanted to get the netting up for safety reasons. And this is one of the big stories nationally on SportsCenter, especially in the wake of what happened in Cleveland. Another 3-year-old kid was hit with a screaming line drive that went into the crowd. So a lot going on today, and we'll get into all of it. Jesse Rogers is in San Francisco. Let's get to this first, Jesse. Then we'll get into trade talk and Russell and CJ. The three of us went around the room the last time the Cubs went on a 9-game road trip. Jesse, you and I both had 6-3, and we could not have been more wrong. Waddle was close. I think he predicted 4-5. Let's go around the room. What will the Cubs do on this road trip?
You get to go first, Jeff.
Yeah, it'd be hard-pressed for me to repeat that prediction because I don't want to be wrong again.
I don't like a quick three games out west, then back against your division foes. Just not going to be easy, even though there are a couple days off. That helps. But I'll say 4-5. You know, if it was a 10-gamer, I would pick a 500 record. So that's kind of what I'm going to say. I'm going to say 500, 4-5. And I don't think it can be much better than that. I just think it's a difficult little run. And they had their 7-2 homestand. That was great. Just kind of hold serve is the way I'm thinking here. 4-5 should be the worst they do. That's my prediction.
To give everyone a little note on the road trip, they go for three. It's a weird road trip. They go for three in San Francisco. They'll get Thursday off to come back, and then just a short trip to Milwaukee. They'll play a three-game set in Milwaukee. They get Monday off, and then they get a short trip to St. Louis. So you get a couple of days off here to kind of catch your breath. And it's not a long trip, just a really quick flight to the West Coast, and then they're back, and then a day off. So, but I'm with you, Jesse. I'm going 4-5. Waddle, how about you?
I'm going 5-4.
Hope you're right again.
I don't think the NL Central is all that, as Cap says, a bag of chips. I mean, Milwaukee lost their best pitcher for a while, right?
Woodruff went out.
Okay. I mean,
You're not wrong. I think Sylvie and I are just after we're shell shocked after that last prediction.
We're scarred. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, they went 3-6. I think that the when we both predicted 6-3. So it's just based on history, nothing more than that. I mean, they definitely are getting San Francisco at the wrong time. I did stick my head in that locker room, and the vibe is just simply this: they are not going to give up on Bruce Bochy here. Meaning, they're not selling. They're not selling unless something crazy happens over the next 10 days. Well, if this team's in the wild card race, forget it. So you're going to see an energized team. Now, real quick, no batting practice today for the Giants. I believe they've played 11 games in 10 days since the break. They have been up against it, but they're 9-2 and playing great baseball. So we'll see what happens here. But at some point, that air is going to come out, but it may not be the next 3 days because every team gets up for the Cubs.
I was going to say as well, Jess, they lead off this road trip with Alec Mills on the mound, right?
Yeah, they do. Okay.
I mean,
a little difficult. Yeah,
it's to face a team that's as hot as the Giants are with, you know, a guy that's filling in admirably, but filling in for Cole Hamels to me is not the best way to start your road trip.
Yeah, you know how that can go. It can go either way sometimes. Big ballpark, that's helpful. He had great movement on his pitches last time out, but he's not dominant. He's arguably a 4A type pitcher. You're just trying to catch lightning in the bottle like one more time because I think they can skip him if they want. Hamels should be back soon enough. But you're right. I mean, you could get off to a bad start here, especially the way the Giants are playing. So I think, 4-5, 5-4, we're in the neighborhood. You just don't want one of those, 3-6s, 2-7 ones, because then you give back the homestand, which is exactly what Theo has said before. I've quoted it. You can't keep using homestands to fix your road woes, if you know what I mean.
The Cubs are 9 under .500 on the road. So if they go 5-4, Waddle, I'd be very thankful against a red-hot San Francisco team and then against two of your division rivals. I would be very happy with 5-4.
And here's the thing. If they go 5-4, I would almost guarantee you they won't lose ground. They won't lose ground. Nobody is moving very much in this division, good or bad. The Cubs went 7-2. They gained a game and a half on their opponents below them. St. Louis and Milwaukee kept switching back and forth, second and third place. So if they go 5-4, I don't think they're dropping out of first place. So you kind of got to recalibrate how we think of these things. You want great road trips, but at this point, 500-ish isn't so bad for the Cubs, I don't think.
Jesse, I heard you earlier talk about Hap and if he could get called up. Before we sort of get there, because you said, well, Robel Garcia is doing a good job, I want to ask about Russell. C.J. Edwards was supposed to be a big part of this bullpen for years, a core piece. He's not, obviously. He's broken. Addison Russell looks pretty broken, too. Will the Cubs think about, even if it happens after the deadline, because for optics' sake, if they're trying to shop him, they don't want to send him down before the trade deadline. But if he doesn't get dealt and he continues to play this way, would the Cubs send him to the minors?
I think it's a possibility. And obviously the key thing is if Baez gets hurt, he can be recalled right away because that still remains the big thing in favor of Russell. He's the only real other shortstop in this organization, major league ready at least. They have all these second basemen, but none of them can really play short if Baez got hurt. Now, if you could send him down and Baez gets hurt in game, you're not going to have a backup much, but Bodie can go over there and then you could recall Russell. It is a possibility, and I will say this. If he starts to, what's the word I want, walk into Mike Montgomery territory, you know how critical I was of him. If his head is not in the game as much as Montgomery's head wasn't in the game, that's when you lose your teammates. And you can tell Rizzo, I think, you know, they called that meeting on the mound. If he starts to lose his teammates, and I'm not ready to report that like with Montgomery, that's when you might have to make a change and send him down. The other thing is you just bury him on the bench and bring him in for defense. You only have a month till rosters expand. You could survive. Again, you need, Baez needs a day off. He goes over to short. Here's what Joe will say and will continue to say. Forgetting those pop-ups for a moment, he's easily their best defensive second baseman on normal days. The problem is he has some instinctual problems with the game of baseball. He just doesn't always, you know, even without them personal problems, he's always had this in him. So that was particularly bad, and certainly the base pass, awful. But most of the time, he's pretty solid at second. That's the best I can say of him, and at least that's what the organization thinks. But I don't disagree with you. He's starting to get in that territory where he might lose his teammates.
I said this earlier, Jess. I said for a guy who knows that the margin for error for his existence in this organization is very slim, you would think there would not be a single mental mistake, a single base running mistake. I'm not saying he's got to hit 400 and knock, you know, 30 home runs, but you can't be doing the stuff that he's doing and maintaining any type of status in this organization.
Oh, agreed. And this is where I'd be a little critical of Madden. Just like, I mean, I wrote this in my book about Joe. He was so good about creating an environment for those young players. Addison Russell at the top of that list. He was so young when he came up, so baseball immature, and he succeeded because of Joe's environment. In the same token, years later, you may have to lay down the law. I mean, this has been Cap's thing lately. Just, Joe, you got to lay down the law. Hey, Addison, between taking a chance or not, go back to the bag every time on a line drive, you know, and I'm sure they're talking to him. But, Tommy, here's the thing. Instinctually, he just doesn't have it like other players. Let me just say this. Remember when I did that long Q&A with Jason Hayward about two, three months ago?
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned, and I know he wasn't trying to diss teammates because it's just by omission, he mentioned guys that play a play ahead of time on his team. He loves playing with Rizzo. He loves playing with Baez, Bryant. These guys play a step ahead of others. He didn't mention Addison Russell, for example. And, of course, he didn't mention others as well. I don't think he meant anything bad. He was complimenting those guys that play a step ahead. Addison Russell has never been that guy, and it's coming back to hurt the Cubs in a season where their margin for error has shrunk. They're not as talented and not as deep.
So I heard you talk about Happen. Why bring him up now? Because Robel Garcia is doing well, and I'm with you. Give him, get him to the plate. I just think, Jesse, there are so many guys on this team right now who aren't hitting, and at least he can get on base. Like Almora, it's been very documented on how bad his last full year has been. It's been amongst the worst offensive analytically numbers in the last year. So, like, a guy like Hap, who obviously no one's going to play center field like Almora, and you're going to get hurt there, but at least here's a guy who can walk, he could add some pop, and if he gets right, we know he can play center field.
Yeah, I mean, we're down to a month before he's absolutely going to come up. We know that, September 1st. Here's the thing, and there's so many things and layers, right? Almora is the only true center fielder out there on this team. Russell, the only guy that can back up Baez at shortstop and is probably still their best second baseman. So there's reasons for different, you know, guys remaining where they are. The one guy, obviously, is Descalso now. He has a contract for next year. That shouldn't matter. It's not that much money. The other thing is, I'm not sure Happ is quite there yet. He's taken like 5 walks in his last 3 games. I mean, we can't go off of really short, small sample sizes. He's going to be up here. Could be a week, could be another month. I don't know. But at least Robel Garcia is doing something more than anyone else at the plate at second base. Extra base hits, home runs, that you're not pining for Happ because there's a hole there. Let's let Garcia run a little bit. I don't disagree. There might be a scenario at some point, but because he's not the best defender, because Robel's hitting, there's not that big need for Ian Happ right now. There'll be time for him, and it'll be this season, I'm sure.
Jess, with the trade deadline nearing, what is a reasonable expectation for what Theo and Jed may do?
Well, I think quantity is the reasonable expectation. Let's start with that. I mentioned this on Carmen's show. I've talked to some executives, and especially the contenders, they're all a little nervous about this one trade deadline. They want to make sure they have enough bodies. and they're not sure, you know, how many to acquire. So I think the Cubs are going to, you know, err on the side of caution here and bring in maybe a couple bats, at least one arm. They still have to fill that lefty role. They're going with Kyle Ryan right now. He's the only lefty in the bullpen at this moment. So I think you're going to see two or three bodies, major league ready bodies. We already saw Maldonado acquire. They were going to acquire a catcher one way or another, whether Contreras went down or not. So that's what we're thinking here. And I just don't think they're going to spend a ton of capital. So in some world, it might consider just be bodies, you know what I mean? Not the top. Although Castellanos is in play, Sogard is in play. Like, Sogard is kind of like a body, I think, to a lot of people. He's up and down this year, great year, but last year not so much. He's in his 30s. You don't know what he's going to do when he, you know, gets traded or whatnot. So there's lefty relievers besides the one on the Giants. I've heard Andrew Chafin's name. He's a Diamondbacks reliever. I mean, again, some big names, some small names, but that's what I will tell you, Tommy. They're blanketing the market, wide net, because they want to make sure they're fortified. Probably up the middle, too. Who knows? In some trade, you send Russell back and sort of move on, but they got to get a shortstop if they do something like that. I don't think Schwarber's on the move. I just don't think they're going to subtract a guy that can hit like he can and has 21-plus home runs here, or 20-plus home runs. So I do think if there's a deal for a guy like an outfielder that is definitely a mainstay, you know, Elmore could go back. If they replace him in defense, same thing with Russell, if they can replace him as a backup shortstop. So it's quantity as much as quality, though they love both, obviously.
All right, Jesse, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, you know the news. Edwards down, obviously, and Rowan Wick is up. So one appearance for Edwards, and that was it for the Cubs.
And I heard you say you don't think he's going to come up until rosters expand.
Well, it wouldn't shock me. It's a whole month. I don't know that for sure, but it would not shock me. This was one of those, oh boy, this guy's more messed up than we thought. And his stuff is not that good anymore.
No
life to that fastball, no cut to the off speed. So that's why I say this could be a lengthy stay down there, but you never know.
All right, Jess, thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys,
Jess.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Jesse Rogers in San Francisco. So,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who's trading at this point? Who's trading you quality for Addison Russell or Albert Almora Jr.?
They would have to be a part of a package.
I know, but
it would have to be a part of a change of scenery can do these guys good, but they would not be a centerpiece of anything. Unless a team, like, say, one of the, like, Toronto, like we were just talking about with Sogard or something like that.
Now, I know they're cost controlled.
Right. Like, they would say, look, for a rental. And a guy who's not going to do anything, we're getting rid of our guy who's going to be a free agent.
Right.
And at least we'll get a guy who, if he turns it around, was a former first-round draft pick.
Gotcha. Because we're not going anywhere, and we're not re-signing this guy. So we'll trade him to you for something less valuable, and that may be one of these guys.
Yeah, right? Sogard's, that's a good example. He's 33 years old. He's having a career year. And so even if you're trading for him, I'm not quite sure you know exactly what you're buying. But the Blue Jays are kind of like, oh, this is found money.
Right.
We'll gladly give you him for a prospect who has years of service time left.
It was just a couple years ago where we were all thinking Addison Russell was going to hold down short. I mean, for 10 years. Think how much has changed. Not just with him, but who you think is going to hold down short now. Mm-hmm. If you think of any guy who's going to get the big extension.
Oh, it's going to be Javi.
It's now Javi, and he's got short. Mm-hmm. It used to be, well, look, Javi is the guy who's going to make his way over to second. So, you know, the steadier guy in Russell can play short. Think how much has changed in the production from each player. I think Javi Baez was hitting in Game 7 of the World Series, I think. I forget if my mind's right here. My mind's not right, but that's a different story. I want to say Javi in some critical playoff games where it was hitting like 8th or 9th.
I think so.
Did he hit 9th in the World Series in 2016? Like, think how far he's come.
Yeah, I mean, that was what his first real full season in the league. He played 52 games in 14. He played 28 games in 15. He played 142 games in 16.
Right, and he was still so he did bat 9th in Game 7 of the World Series.
Yes.
So think about that. Think how much has changed. Where Addison Russell, what he did in Game 6, he drove in, I want to say, 6 runs, he had a grand slam in Game 6. And you're like, this guy has been clutch against the Dodgers, now against the Indians. He's our guy at shortstop. And Javi Baez is a nice player. He was just the NLCS co-MVP, but he's batting ninth. Now Javi Baez is like an MVP candidate. And a lot of Cubs fans have no use for Javi Baez, on or off the field.
You mean Addison Russell.
Addison Russell, yeah. I meant. Addison Russell, on or off the field.
Yeah. Times change quickly. Things change.
Ken in Woodstock, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thank you.
So, earlier you guys were talking about Pat Fitzgerald and his little rant, and I wanted to add in a couple of things that you guys didn't also mention. You know, the fact that I can see every single highlight, every critical play, every ooh and ah moment instantly on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't even need to watch the game. I know what everybody's talking about. And even if you look at things like the NFL doing Sunday Ticket, with this age group, this demographic of, let's say, 18 to 30-year-olds, you get things like Sunday Ticket or NFL Red Zone. You're watching the most action-packed portions of the game. No one wants to watch someone run the ball 30 times a game for 3 yards, waiting for the highlight play that they can see instantly on their phone, especially when the game's total cost are costing hundreds of dollars.
But some people can like the atmosphere of going to a game, experiencing it. Maybe it's their alma mater. I mean, there is some value to being at the game, not just, you know, don't go because you can get the highlights quick and fast on social media. There's a different element to it.
Well, I would agree with that as well, Tommy. But even look at it, you know, your career, you know, and your colleagues from your career, you get a lot of younger players, or I'm sorry, younger demographic that see these players that are, hey, you know, getting beat up, having mental issues. They're not even interested in the game anymore. Even the NFL was down on viewership and ratings and stuff like that.
I think this year, this past year, they were back up, though.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
Ken, thanks. I mean,
thanks, Ken. Look, I mean, nobody is. I don't. When Fitz made the comments, I said I don't believe that social media and how people are handling social media has a significant impact on how or how many people are going to game.
For those just getting into their cars and you're saying, well, what did Fitz say? Fitz talked about the advancements in technology and how it's hurting attendance, and then sort of went on, got some things off his chest about, you know, just the way it's ruining just not even sporting environments, just going
how
out
people
environments.
Interact.
And we'll play that for you with Markey coming up next.
I salute Fitz on that. On that front.
We'll get Markey's reaction. If you missed it, we'll play that for you next. Le'Veon Bell also went off on Twitter, too. Le'Veon Bell likes to go off on a lot of different things.
He does.
And we'll play that for you in the last half hour of the show as well.
Guys, summer's finally here and in full force. And you know what that means? It's time once again for another Waddle special from my good friends Joe and Tony at Distinctive Gold Jewelry in Frankfurt. This month, they are featuring beautiful carat and a quarter lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. Perfect gift for your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter, your mom, a relative, a coworker, anyone that you just want to give that perfect summer gift to. I gave one to my daughter recently, and she was more than thrilled. Hey, if you feel like money might be tight this month, as always, Joe and Tony have a solution for you. They are continuing this month with their no down payment, 12 months interest free plan upon approval. That's Distinctive Gold Jewelry in Frankfurt. They are, as you know by now, my favorite jewelry store and the only one I will endorse. Visit them at distinctivegoldjewelry.com and ask about this month's Waddle special featuring these beautiful tennis bracelets. The perfect gift for summer. That's Distinctive Gold Jewelry, where Chicago buys their diamonds.
All right, there could be a comeback coming soon for Chicago Cub. We'll tell you that news next, and then we'll play the Fitz stuff if you missed it, what the caller was just talking about. Markey's going to join us next inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
ABC 7's Marchie and Greco.
You're just kidding. Come on.
I can't tell anymore.
A name that denotes class.
I just think you get the rib gun out and you're just firing away.
G and Greco with Waddle and Sylvie.
Anything pleasing you right now?
Every Monday.
Well, I got some blackened chicken breast in the fridge in my office.
Wednesday.
having dinner while I watch nine games. You know.
And Friday.
Pretty glamorous.
This is what you lived for growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there was a time when this was, to Mark Giangreco, this was like a holiday.
I still live for this. This is my life.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
Only on ESPN 1000.
This is what we do. We do Monday, Wednesday, Fridays with Marky.
Oh, starry-eyed kid.
Did you go down to Decatur to get all the sounds?
Oh, yeah, I was all over that.
You drove. You went drove there and drove back.
I was wearing a Staley outfit.
Were
you?
A couple hours. Yeah. That's not that bad.
Central Illinois.
So, Saturday night, impromptu, boom, text flom, I'm at Chicago Cut. Unbelievable. It's packed to the rafters.
As usual.
Indoor and out. And I went new. I went special.
What do you mean?
How about fresh halibut with melon and cucumber sauce?
Ooh. Very summery.
You could smell the freshness as it was being delivered to the table. Throw down three dirties, and bam, there you are.
Have a dirty martini.
Yeah. Right, with key lime pie for dessert,
of course.
Rub that all over your face, and then walk out.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was the best.
Mark Giangreco is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Don't forget, we're with Roquan Smith. Wednesday, he'll join us in this hour. So make your reservations now. Just a couple of seats remaining. 312-929-3570. If you ever wanted to catch a Waddle and Sylvie show live, get a great meal at Chicago Cut, meet a bear, and a guy who's going to be great, Roquan Smith.
Are we downstairs in the Jim Harbaugh room?
I believe so, but I'm not 100%.
Okay. If it's anything like the Sutcliffe gathering, it was great with your special guests and everything
Wherever
else.
Wherever we're going to be in the restaurant, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
312-929-3570.
I didn't get my table, but I got the table right next to me.
Oh, you did?
So I could stare down the family that was sitting at my
table.
Yeah, no. It was
your back still against the window?
Absolutely.
So why didn't you go outside?
It was a little humid. It was a little humid. But the place was packed anyway.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Really quick, I wanted to give a baseball note because it's just developed since we had Jesse on. Cole Hamels is going to go on a rehab start on Tuesday in Iowa. So maybe his return is right around
the
corner.
Maybe he can bring Ian Happ with him when he comes back. Yeah.
Maybe he can say hello to Carl Edwards Jr.
Hello and goodbye. Because CJ may be down there for a little bit.
Well, for a guy who's got as much natural talent, it's just he hasn't been able to harness it all and put it all together consistently.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're going to make a deal for a left-handed reliever for sure. And CJ was always great against left-handers, but he just can't do it anymore. I don't know what's happened.
He's not himself.
Yeah.
Whether it's his stuff or whether it's the mental side of the game as well. I want to play the...
That held me back. The mental side.
Yeah,
but you're still in the big league level. We have not demoted you to the minors.
I'm like a DH on a bench, spitting seeds.
You're more like a Milton Bradley type, though, with the attitude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Psychotic, dangerous, crazy person?
Wow. No, not quite that. Like Milton Bradley earlier in his career. Big temper.
Didn't Milton Bradley go to the big house?
Yes. Big, that
Is
was,
he still
yeah,
there?
Yeah. Bad guy, yeah.
Still there?
I was playing golf last Wednesday with a guy whose favorite Cub was Mel Hall. And he's wearing a number 27 jersey, Mel Hall.
Mel Hall got us Rick Sutcliffe.
Mel Hall's still in jail, though, isn't he? Is Mel Hall in jail, too? Pretty sure. Can you check on that?
I will check on that.
Yeah, I believe it's not a good...
It's long-term.
Oh, the Mel Hall story's a terrible story.
Yeah.
One of the worst, I think.
Okay, let's not go there. But I believe he's still incarcerated.
We should do a former Cub in jail or not in jail.
You know who was...
And read a bunch of names. And
really unjustly jailed was Mercury Morris, framed for a cocaine deal. And the Dolphins are playing in their home stadium. He's in a prison like 2 miles away. He can hear the fans cheering. It was awful. One of my all-time favorite NFL players.
Of course, yeah.
Eugene Mercury Morris.
Even though you're a Bills fan, though.
Yeah, but I appreciate speed. I think speed is everything. Bob Hayes, Eugene Mercury Morris.
I'll give you the chance to be the old man here. I'm sure you loved Pat Fitzgerald's getting a few things off his chest Friday. Is this when it was?
I believe it was Friday, yes.
And so it's really making the rounds now. He was originally talking for those just getting in their
car.
What
do you mean it's making the rounds now? We ran it Friday.
About the cell phones and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Okay, well, people are talking about...
Come on, let's get with it. You got to keep up with social media. Boom, boom, boom. You can't have three-day-old stuff.
This is, well, I was trying to do what
Pat
Fitzgerald
is saying. I'm just saying.
Trying to be in the moment and to enjoy my company.
Just for the record,
Fitz.
Mel Hall in jail, 45-year prison sentence, must serve 22 years and 4 months before he's eligible for
parole.
Wasn't
it like underage stuff?
Yes.
Bad.
I can't confirm that. But I will in a second. Play the audio, and then I'll figure it out.
This is Fitz. He was talking about attendance first and how technology has sort of hurt the attendance of football, but then he sort of got some things off his chest.
I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. I think, you know, watching young people today live like this instead of like that. You know, Six and I were out on a date last night, and there was two groups of couples sitting next to us, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm old. Like, not one of the four couples were talking to each other.
So
they were all on their phones.
Yep.
And it just drove me up to, I literally wanted to be like a dad and go like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean,
this is
pathetic.
Yep.
So it was really, really pathetic. And I think that's just, it's just changed the way a lot of younger people and younger fans intake is all through technology. And I mean, you watch a concert and everybody's holding their phone up like, listen,
yes, exactly.
Watch,
enjoy, the
take it in
live,
create a memory, because they don't go back and watch the videos. They just want to post it on their social media,
right,
which is pathetic because it creates a society of, look at me. Isn't my life great? Even though when they go home, they're like, I hate myself. I hate my life. Everything's wrong. So I think it's a big cause. I think it's the root cause, number one. You know, I think the fans that grew up going and tailgating and the fans that grew up going to the stadiums 4 hours before the games are getting a little older. And I think the next and younger generation of fans are more reliant on technology. They'd rather have 12 TVs set up in their TV watching cave than go to a game and experience
all pale in the
basement in the tailgate.
Just eating junk food. He's the greatest.
You
Pat Fitzgerald for president.
It was like a sermon for you.
Absolutely.
Going on this and that.
Hey, when I was at Chicago Cut, I'm looking around. Same thing's happening. You got families having dinner, and the kids are on their phone. And they're not even interacting.
But I said this during Good, Bad, and Dirty. It's not just a kid problem.
No.
Right.
If you use technology, the iPhone has made a lot of us older people not be in the moment as much as we should
but
be.
I make a concerted effort to put my phone away when I'm
good
out for dinner. If I'm at a party, I'm with people. I'll check everything first, and then that's it. When I play golf, I put my phone in the golf bag. Do not check it at all until I'm done, until I'm in the car going
human
home.
Human-to-human relationships
have been... Yeah, how about interacting with the guys you're playing with or the people you're interacting with at the dinner afterwards? It drives me insane. People walking into each other on the sidewalk.
The crosswalk checking of the phone is not good.
No.
And you know, people really, walking against the light because they're checking their phones.
Fitz really hit it on the head when he said people would rather... you know, experience something looking at it on video rather than live. Just enjoy it live. Then later, if you have time, okay, maybe you post something.
I can buy a lot of that. I don't think, though, that has had a huge negative effect on attendance at games.
Well, I don't think I think it's your flat screen. It's your 60-inch flat screen at home.
And I'm guilty of that because it's easier for me. But I'm older, okay? So maybe when I was younger.
You're not old.
Right, I'm older. But even with that said, I enjoy going every now and again.
We had a blast at the Notre Dame Northwestern game.
But by the same token, I mean, like, if I'm not going to lie, and if it's Northwestern and Duke, or it's Northwestern and Akron, or it's Northwestern and Indiana, mm-hmm. with no disrespect meant to those games, we went because it was Northwestern and Notre Dame. If it's Northwestern and a lesser opponent, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sitting in my home watching multiple games.
I know, but you can't replace...
How can you argue against that?
You can't replace tailgating. You can't replace hanging out with people in the stands.
You're absolutely right about
that. And, you know, the Bears, a couple of years ago, you know, they're one of the first teams in the NFL to try to make their gigantic Jumbotron scoreboard interactive. And so they feel the need that even if you're at the game, you need to be on your phone... doing stuff. It's just put it away and cheer, you know?
Well, for the NFL, you need your fantasy football score.
Oh, God.
You need it. You cheer for your favorite football team and your fantasy teams. It's a way of your life.
I don't know why people have to have a fantasy league team, and you don't. Why do people have to bet on games? You have to have juice to enjoy it. Just go to enjoy it.
It increases the thrill for a lot of people.
I don't need the extra boost. I'm stimulated enough by just watching football.
Mr. Stimulation over here.
Stimulate myself.
I've got Le'Veon Bell also sort of ranted about stuff he's doing on Instagram, except the other way. He was defending himself, showing off sort of a lot of his different ventures on Instagram. I don't think you've heard this yet, Waddle.
I haven't.
I want to play this for you coming up next. I want to get Marky's thoughts on a lot of other things that happened over the weekend as well.
You know what's pretty awesome? Being happy. You know what makes people happy? Hanging with friends with some Mike's Hard Lemonade nearby.
Of course.
Times are bright, sweet, and pretty dang awesome. So whether
you can only put up with friends so long.
Baking in the sun or chilling in the shade, as long as you're all smiling and holding the mics, life can be pretty dang awesome. Mike's, drink on the bright side. Please drink responsibly. Premium malt beverage, Mike's Hard Lemonade, 2019 Chicago.
All right, I'll play you Le'Veon Bell. I want you to say a few words on a couple of Chicago guys who went into the Hall of Fame yesterday.
Okay.
And Abdallah had a good rant about these Hall of Fame induction ceremonies when they should be instead of yesterday.
I totally agree.
It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago became my home. White Sox fans became an important part of my extended family. Driving in Division One of September 1983 remains one of my career highlights. Chicago is a city that honors and appreciates hard work. I hope this is one of the reasons the White Sox fans connected with me and how I approached the game of baseball. But who could ever imagine an entire stadium led by Orgs Nancy Pels chanting your name as you step into the batter's box. White Sox fans, thank you for all the cheers and love over the years, and I hope I made you proud along the way.
When I was converted to a relief pitcher in 1978, I hit a roadblock. I thought I was on the path to the majors, pitching well, but the team decided they wanted to make me a relief pitcher. I was discouraged. In those days, you wanted to be a starter or nothing. Near the end of that 79 season, I packed my bags. Instead of going on a 10-day road trip, I went home. I think back now, it's hard to believe I didn't want to sign that next year's contract. Well, thank God for Mr. Billy Williams. He knocked some sense into me. After that 79 season, he explained that the game was changing and relief pitching could be valuable.
Good stuff there. Lee Smith was the second voice. Harold Baines, very emotional. First voice, both of them go in. Hall of Famers had a lot of success here. They all went elsewhere and had long careers even after they left, but they're known for their days in Chicago.
I got to tell you, it was so great to listen to both of them. Lee Smith and Leon Durham were so much fun in the clubhouse. I can't really tell any of the stories, but they were so great, along with Jody Davis, who was really a closet crazy dude. And Lee Smith had time for everybody. And he was so imposing in person. He was like a football player on the mound. I mean, that'd be so intimidating for a rookie to face him or whatever. And I'm so happy for both of them. Now, the thing, I have to be careful how I say this. I am so happy for Harold Baines. He is the nicest guy in the world. And you heard him choking up. And for him, I'm elated that he's in. But Jerry Reinsdorf power played him in and pushed him in. And there are a lot of people that don't think Harold should be in the hall. Now, you could argue it both ways. He kind of, you know, put the DH up on the shelf and said, hey, you got to consider Edgar Martinez. You got to consider DHs for the hall, okay? But a lot of people argue to this day that he really shouldn't have been elected. And Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, who ran baseball for so many years, you know, he's got everybody's ear at the Hall of Fame, very influential, and he loves Harold more than anybody on earth. So while you may question whether he should be in or not, just be happy for him. Lee Smith, there's no question whatsoever. And it actually took so long for relievers
right.
to be considered as Hall of Famers. So they were both pioneers in a sense, and they represented Chicago really well.
I think you said it best. I mean, a lot of people don't believe that Harold Baines had a Hall of Fame-worthy career.
Right.
But I saw someone tweet, as much as it meant to him, is it so bad if he's in? Like, or right. some other guys who are, like, whether you are, like, Ron Santo's another guy. Like, a lot of people, he's a very mm-hmm. hot-button topic for years. Was he Hall of Fame? Was he Hall of Very Good? But think about, now, the thing with Santo, I just wish he would have gotten in when he was
I know,
alive.
But you know, the story with Ronnie and a lot of other players in football and basketball as well, you know, especially the baseball writers, these are... You know, a lot of them aren't around anymore, but it was a group of real old school guys who were very protective. Like, you know, during the World Series in the playoffs, they stick the TV and radio people out in the stands. They own the press box. They're very provincial. And if a player stiffed them or wasn't good to them,
they
held a grudge forever and kept guys out of the hall in a lot of sports.
All right. So this is Le'Veon Bell. I wanted to get to this, too. So Le'Veon Bell, remember, has been criticized for a lot of things. The holdout wasn't the smartest last year, okay? He lost a lot of money. He's now with the Jets. Then we found out he got what? He got basically stolen from by these two girls in May.
About $1 million worth of stuff, right?
Yeah, and there were two of them, and he didn't know who they were, and he went to work out while they were still naked in his bed. He doesn't seem to make the best choices. So then he Instagrams a lot of the things he's doing, and people criticize him. He got tired of the criticism as he was getting set to report to camp. Going through the airport, he sent out this video on his Instagram account.
Hey, real bro, I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me you're not focused. He only want to make music. He want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking, man. I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete. Your mom, your dad, whoever y'all do. So somebody work at Target. Do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They trying to worry about what serial number's coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work. She don't act. She don't do nothing else for her kids. Really, she's waking up singing. So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, oh yeah, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out. Get up these damn steps, huh? That's crazy. So guess what I'm gonna do for y'all? I'm gonna give y'all this one time. Run down these damn steps. Look, my nigga running down the escalator. That's what I like. This is what y'all want him to do too. This is what I gotta do too. He a normal civilian running down the escalator. I'm guessing that's what I gotta do. The normal civilian, y'all just running, working out, not eating, not doing just working out all day.
There he is, Le'Veon Bell.
Okay, hey, you're a Renaissance man. You have other interests. I get it. Your analogies are lame, and you have a track record that's not great. So shut the F up. Run up the escalator.
He's either going to be great again and be like the back in Pittsburgh, or he's going to be a colossal bust. I don't think there's going to be an in-between.
Well, it's interesting. Look, I know that...
Could be a LaDainian Tomlinson as a Jet.
The Steelers are a marquee franchise in this league. I don't know how the Steelers media or the Pittsburgh media covers him. The New York media will be significantly different, is my guess. Am I right about that?
He'll be shutting down social media for a while.
Yeah.
If he's upset about criticism now, he hasn't played a game for the Jets yet. And like you said, Waddle, you turn up the heat in New York.
Oof.
That thing's going to be turned way up, especially with what went on in the offseason with the general manager losing the power battle with Gase and everything going on.
Gase is an interesting character
The stare down he's going to get from Gase. He's a weird dude. He better wear his hat low again. He's going to scare some babies.
Join Northwestern football and Coach Fitz at Ryan Field this fall when the 17th-ranked Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State. Iowa and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Maybe we'll go to the Ohio State game this year.
Yeah. Good. Love to root against Ohio State almost as much as rooting against Notre Dame.
Go Cats.
All right. And don't forget, we're at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Marky's going to join us on Wednesday at about 2:45.
I'm going to have the seared tuna again.
It was so good, wasn't
eating
it?
Eating while I'm talking.
In person, Marky will be with us. And then Roquan Smith will be with us on Wednesday as well. So make your reservations now at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle, and the River. You're absolutely going to love it. We're live and local coming up next. We've got Jonathan Hood. Thanks today to Adam Schefter, Jesse Rogers, and the one and only Mark Jean Greco.
Good show, hey.
Adam Abdallah, thank you. And Jeff Miller, thank you. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000, have yourself a great Monday night.